Hello, everybody. Welcome to People's Rights meeting today, March the 12th. So here we are again. There's quite a bit going on behind the scenes with People's Rights right now, but I wanted to give you some updates on what some of our members in the mountain areas of San Bernardino are going through right now. I was in touch with two of our members that are up there in the Lake Arrowhead area, and one person told me that he was literally snowed in and trapped in his own house for 3 weeks because the city and the county was not plowing the roads. So they have 15-foot snowdrifts up there. And he literally could not open his doors to get out of his house at one point, and he had to go out a window, an upper floor window. He had to crawl out a window to get out of his own house. That's how bad it was. So the county was refusing to plow the roads, so there were a lot of people stranded and cut off, and the trucks were not getting through to deliver their food, their medicine, and all this kind of thing. So it was getting to the point where they were going to have to defy the roadblock at the bottom of the mountain and go up anyway, even though the county was saying the roads are closed and blah, 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 because people were caught in a really bad situation up there. Unfortunately, I've heard through the news that 12 people passed away. They were trapped up there. And a couple of them literally froze to death in their own homes. So.
That's on Governor Newsom.
Yeah, so the county was very negligent in keeping the roads clear and making it possible for people to get to help. So at one point, a few days ago, actually, we came this close to calling out an alert to the whole People's Rights organization to organize a convoy to bring up supplies to them, because they were just not letting the trucks through. They were not letting supplies get up there. It was almost as though they wanted an emergency situation to happen. I don't know what the thinking process was, but they were even preventing there's people that have private planes, and there's even a couple helicopter pilots that were willing to load their helicopters up with supplies and fly them up, and the county wouldn't let them do that either. So there was something very suspicious about that. But anyway, it turned out that the snow stopped enough where they could get the roads somewhat cleared up, and they're through the emergency, at least for the moment. So, but that's just an example of what People's Rights is all about. We might have called out an alert to get everybody together that has a four-wheel drive and load up supplies and go up there and help each other. So, you know, our group serves a really important function in an emergency situation. And if things continue along the trajectory that they're on right now, I don't know if everybody's aware of this, but there is a major bank in the Bay Area of California that has just went belly up. And I've heard rumors about Wells Fargo going belly up. Don't know if those are true. There's still some investigation to be done into that. But, you know, if there is going to be a financial collapse or a manipulation by the parasite class to introduce digital currency, you know, this could be the beginnings of something like that happening. So as of now, I am recommending to everybody that you start stocking up on canned food. You stock up as much as you can. Maybe we'll even start a little project to do our own canning. There's members that we have that are experienced with canning their own food. It's very easy. And maybe we could get a group together to have a big event and actually do a canning event. But I recommend everybody start putting aside some extra food just in case, and maybe consider spending some of the money that you have in the bank right now on supplies that you might need if the situation gets bad. I don't want anybody to panic, but situations like this can escalate very quickly, and it's hard to say what could happen. But if society started to break down into an anarchy type of situation, then we've got to come up with a more concrete plan of how we're going to come together. Right now, we just have tentative plans, and we have a ham radio frequency that you can tune into, and that's on the People's Rights website. You can look under the ham radio section. And there is a frequency where you can keep up to date with what's going on with ham radio and what's going on with people's rights. So if the situation happens where we need to come together, let's say there's civil unrest or something like that, then we've got to start thinking in terms of being prepared for that. It's not something any of us would look forward to, but we might have to consider maybe all coming together in a central location or something like that. If the security situation gets bad enough, we might have to come together with our group in a less than comfortable situation for mutual defense. We've got a couple initiatives going on right now, and one of them is, as was just mentioned, is the Hendershot generator. So we put out this initiative a couple weeks ago, and we've already raised a pretty good amount of money. How much?
248.
Wow. So we have 248. We're more than halfway to building our first Hendershot generator. Once we've collected enough money to buy the supplies to build one of these, we're going to build it. But I do need the members that are interested in this project to step up and help do it. So let's form a committee or a group. Doesn't have to be very big. I think just a few of us could build the first one. but anybody that's interested in doing that, I'm going to be talking about the Hendershot generator and presenting the plans on a Zoom meeting, which is going to take place on Monday the 20th at 7 p.m. So I'll be going on Zoom. I'll put out the link to everybody through the People's Rights texting and email system. I'll put out the link for you to join the Zoom, and this would be open to anybody, by the way. Doesn't have to be just a People's Rights member. So we're going to be talking about the initiative to build the Hendershot generator, and also one of our members up in San Bernardino, his name is Mike Salisbury. Mike is got an initiative to bring together other groups other than just People's Rights, bring in other groups together to unite into a bigger, more cohesive action and a bigger group so that we can pool our strength. So that's the two of the things that we're going to talk about on this Zoom meeting. Is Mike is going to present his plan for uniting with other groups, and then we're going to talk about the Hendershot generator and the building of that project. So that'll be a Zoom meeting on Monday the 20th at 7 p.m. I'll send out an email and also a text alert about that. Now, I'd like to propose also that the group get together and start getting more active as far as, you know, going out on the streets and getting things done that we need to get done. For example, I'm going to do a little sample of what I'd like to, like everybody in the group that wants to get involved. Everybody can do the same thing. So if you come to the meeting next week, and maybe on successive weeks we could do this more and more, I'd like to have everybody make a short statement about different things that they care about. So we could start, for example, with the WHO. The WHO and Joe Biden are working together to try to take away our sovereignty and our right to decide what we do with our own health and our own body. So I'll just demonstrate what we could do as a group. We could have people come up and make a short statement at the mic. So here's my statement. As far as the World Health Organization goes, I did not vote for you. I did not elect you. You have no authority here in the United States, regardless of whether Joe Biden signs a treaty with you. He does not have the authority or the right to sign away our sovereignty to our own body. So any dictates that come from the World Health Organization, I will not obey those. You have no authority over me. You can go to hell. I am not listening to you. You don't own me. So we could all come up and make our statements, and then we can put this all together in a video and post it. So that's just another harebrained idea that I got. But there's a lot of good news going on in the world. There's a lot of pushback going on against the parasite class. They're losing ground in a lot of different areas. The people are fighting back, regardless of what the press says. They are not winning right now. We are winning. We're winning the information war in particular. The corporate media is, essentially, they're dead. They're dead. The only people that watch the corporate media now are people that are just completely disconnected from the internet, people that just don't look outside of their own little sphere for anything. But most of the younger generation, most of the people that are, you know, up until their 50s and even 60s, they don't get their news anymore from the corporate media. Most of us, in particular, we get our news from independent sources, and that is something that the powers that be, the parasite class, they can't control that. So they would like to. And for example, the press right now, the politicians, the parasite class, they are coming down very heavily on Tucker Carlson for revealing that the January 6th protest was not really an insurrection, which it wasn't, obviously. It was people that were righteously indignant about the theft of their election. So that's what happened. There was no violence. There was no guns being carried by the supposed insurrectionists. So what insurrection have you ever heard about where there were no insurrectionists armed with guns and none of the authorities got shot? So as far as I know, the only person that got shot was Ashley Babbitt, and she was a Trump supporter. So where's the insurrection? So Tucker Carlson comes on and reveals, and I have my personal feelings about Tucker, but the information he showed and the videos that he showed, which illustrate that it was a peaceful group for the most part. There were some agitators mixed in, and I have my opinion about that. I think they were operatives, and that for the most part, the Trump supporters were just that. They were just angry that their election had been stolen, and they were protesting, and that was it. So everything about that was just wrong. The whole January 6th committee is a fraud. But the politicians and the other corporate media outlets went after Tucker in a big, big way. They did all these reports and articles and they attack, attack, attack. But you know what? Nobody's listening to them. Yeah. They lost their audience. People don't trust them anymore. So there, as far as the information war goes, they lost. So we won. And we're going to continue to win. And they hate that. Because if they lose the information war, then they lose the bigger war. And they have literally no chance to win the information war. We beat them. There's too many independent reporters out there. There's too many people exposing their lies. The internet is out of their control. They like to talk about how they could shut down the internet, blah, blah, blah. Well, if they could have done it, they would have done it. Senator Rockefeller, at one point, he's on video saying this. He wants to shut down the internet. So that's how out of touch they are. They think they have the power to actually do that. They do not. Because if I know one thing about tech people, they'll find a way. Believe me, they will find a way to keep things up and going and keep the information flowing and so forth. So we're winning. They're not going to tell you that on the corporate news, but we are. We're winning. There's lots of lawsuits taking place against this horrendous fraudemic. And, you know, I'd like to say something about the fraudemic. You know, we should stop using their terminology. So instead of calling it lockdowns, we should call it self-imprisonment. Because that's what we were really doing. We were imprisoning ourselves. Because we don't have to listen to them. We're not children. We're not on a curfew. They don't have the right to tell us whether we can go in and out of our homes. Okay? The only person you can quarantine is a person that you can prove is an infection risk. Okay? And they can't prove it because I never took a test. And I'm not going to. Okay, if I'm sick, I'll stay home just because I care about other people and I won't expose anybody to anything that they don't want to be exposed to. If they had just asked us to, stay at home when we're sick, I would say, hey, that's perfectly reasonable. I'll do that for you, sure. But they didn't ask. They said, you will do it. We're forcing you. Well, guess what? If you try to force Americans who are free, the answer is no. I'm not going to be forced. Okay? And then and we need to quit calling these vaccinations, because they're not vaccinations. They're biological weapons, and a lot of people are dying from these injections. And it's a misnomer to call it a vaccine, because it isn't a vaccine. It doesn't confer any immunity to anything. And that's the very definition of a vaccine. So we need to stop calling it a vaccine. We need to stop calling it lockdowns and call it what it really is. We're self-imprisoning. We're doing it ourselves by complying with it. And the masking, oh my God. The masking, I can't believe it's still going on. There's still people wearing the damn masks. It's so sad. Scientists all over the world, doctors all over the world, huge numbers of scientists and doctors and experts on protective equipment have come out and said, not only do the masks not work, but they're harmful. They cause a lot of harm. For example, did you know that there is Teflon inside the masks? It's the one of the ingredients is Teflon. Okay? There's little fibers on the inside of those masks, and you breathe those in. Just by wearing the mask, you breathe those in. Now people are getting lung disorders similar to mesothelioma from wearing the mask. So, you know, why anyone's complying with this is beyond me. It can only, in my opinion, it can only be that they don't know, and they're still, unfortunately, listening to the corporate media. But for example, the Surgeon General in Florida and Governor DeSantis in Florida have come out very strongly saying just what I just told you. The masks don't work and they're harmful. So, you know, the only thing people can be relying upon is what the prostitutes and the corporate media tell them. And so, why is it that they're not listening to any of the other doctors or any of the other scientists or looking at any of the scientific studies that say, hey, these things don't work and they're harmful? The only reason is they don't know about them. So because they don't know about them, they're...
they don't want to know about them, though.
Yeah, that's a very good point. They don't want to know about it.
They don't want to know.
That's true.
They're brainwashed. They will only look at the sources that they got the information from originally that lied to them. They don't want to hear it from anybody else.
Right. Well, so there is a video of Fauci, the Prince of Darkness himself. He came forward early on and said that masks are essentially worthless.
Right.
Okay, and that's on video. So,
the Surgeon General did too.
Yeah. So, everybody did. The Journal of the American Medical Association said so also. So, the situation here is not that we don't have the truth and the science behind us. The problem here is that we're in a almost like a twilight zone, where people think it's okay to just keep doing this and claim that they have science on their side, when in reality all they're really doing is censoring all the scientists and the doctors that are telling them the truth. So that's not science. That's a cult. Okay? And one of the things about masking that bothers me the most is its psychological effects. So there's a psychological, I don't know how to describe it, but there's a there's something that happens with people when they put on a mask. They feel that they're anonymous. And so psychologically, they feel like they can get away with more, I guess. I don't know what the principle is in their heads, but it's well known now as a psychological principle that people that wear masks, especially in large groups, they become more aggressive. They become more hostile because they feel that they're anonymous. It's almost like you'll run into people on social media that are extremely rude and aggressive, and they'll say things to you that they would never say to your face. But they'll say it on social media because they feel that they're anonymous. So that psychological effect of the mask, it's also serves a kind of a hypnotic effect. So if you hypnotize somebody, there's certain triggers that can aid you in hypnotizing a person. like you'll remember in the old days that they would take a watch, and the watch would swing back and forth, and they'd say, "You're getting very sleepy. You're getting very sleepy." Well, there's a hypnosis principle behind that. Okay. And that same hypnosis principle is behind the masking, because every time you see a person in a mask, there's a little psychological subconscious message that goes through your mind. And that is, hey, they're wearing a mask. There must be something wrong. There must be something wrong. So what the masking does is it reinforces this idea that there really is a pandemic. And it's a psychological manipulation is what it is. So if anybody's interested, there's a great, great video out there by a man named Darren Brown. Now, Darren Brown, he's a psychological illusionist / mentalist, and he's from Great Britain. And Darren has a lot of his videos and shows that he's done on YouTube. So you can watch this for free. So you go to YouTube and you type in Darren Brown Remote Control. So see that video and you'll understand what I'm talking about with the masking. Because he does an experiment where he exposes this psychological principle where when people feel they're anonymous, how they become more aggressive and more negative and even can become violent if it's pushed far enough. So, but check out Darren Brown Remote Control. Anything you see from Darren Brown, it's usually really good. But hey, I would like to open up the mics and let anybody that wants to come up and talk about whatever they're interested in talking about. And I know that Aileen, you've got an event you wanted to talk about. So why don't you come on up and tell us what's going on, and we'll see if we can get our members to show up. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Adam. Hi. Please join our fundraiser on March 25th at the Pineapple Grill in Van Nuys. This is a donation party.
It's Pineapple Hill, right?
Pineapple Hill Saloon and Grill. Thank you. Please attend to support our teachers and educators' lawsuit with the Health Freedom Defense Fund against LAUSD's unconstitutional vaccine mandate for employees. You can also go to our website, educatorsformedicalfreedom.com, for more information. Okay?
What time is it?
Oh, sorry. Thank you. 5 p.m. I think until, 10, 11 or so. If you cannot attend, there's also a donation site on there, donation link, and please share with your family and friends. Thank you.
Thanks. All right. So, Ira.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm not falling into that one.
Yeah.
So, two items that you brought up, the mask and the vax. Did you see the story in New York? Mayor Eric Adams is suggesting that businesses do not allow people to come in with masks on because of the theft and things like that.
I did not know that, but that's a very good sign.
Read the New York Post. And in Florida, you mentioned the Surgeon General there, and I don't know if you saw the story yesterday that the FDA and the CDC came out with a letter that said, you know, because he's against the jab, and they said that because of the myocarditis for the 18 to 39-year-old people, he said, doesn't recommend they have it. So they came out with a letter yesterday, the CDC and FDA, that said, we have a study or studies, whatever, that say that the people who have gotten the jab have less of a chance of myocarditis than the people that have gotten have not gotten it.
Wow. So they're doubling down on their lies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have a nice day.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, the what's going on out there is a freaking holocaust. They're lying. These injections, these toxic bioweapon injections are killing a lot of people. It's estimated by looking at VAERS and by some European vaccine injury databases and also the one in Israel. They've extrapolated that they think upwards of 25 million people have already died from these injections. So worldwide, yeah, worldwide. So they're concealing a very horrible reality right there. So, since I'm not a doctor, thank God, I can recommend just from my own personal opinion, if you take an injection of any kind, I think you're crazy. I think you're taking your life in your hands. These manufacturers like Pfizer faced the biggest criminal fine penalty that any company has ever faced. I think it was something like $240 billion. Or am I right? Ed, I think you know. They faced a massive, massive, it might be $2.4 billion that they had to pay out in fines, something like that. I could have my money, my figures wrong. But, yeah, these pharmaceutical companies, I'll give you an example, the company Bayer. Bayer, you think, oh, they're just the aspirin makers. No. They own a big pharmaceutical conglomerate, and they were responsible for manufacturing a drug for hemophiliacs. And all of a sudden, they had a whole batch, a giant batch of their drug, which became tainted with AIDS. And so, instead of doing what they should have done, which was to recall those batches and destroy those, they decided to discount sell them to hemophiliacs in Africa. So they knowingly distributed those drugs to people in Africa that were tainted with AIDS. So that's who you're dealing with. You're dealing with sociopaths, psychopaths that will murder you for profit. So, I will never think of pharmaceuticals the same way again. Go ahead.
Thanks, Adam, so much. Really appreciate you. As far as the masks go, I was talking with a friend on the drive on the way up here today that what I've noticed is I'm seeing more and more masks when I go out in the stores and out on the street. I'm seeing more of them. Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering, because I'm disconnected from mainstream media. I haven't looked at it in 3 years. Does anybody here know of some kind of campaign that they're pushing something new on people that are causing them to go back to their mask wearing? Anybody know?
Well, I do know that they're still pushing the narrative that this pandemic is real, and it's not. People that are getting sick and dying, most of them are dying from the injection. That's just my opinion. That's not a medical professional's opinion. That's just my opinion. So, and I think the facts will back me up on that. But, there's another really good documentary you can watch. It's about psychotropic drugs. And it's called Making a Killing, The Hidden History of Psychotropic Drugging. That documentary is really profound. It's groundbreaking. They expose the pharmaceutical industry's pushing of psychotropic drugs and the horrible effects that they have. So these drugs are supposed to stabilize people that are mentally ill. Well, the opposite is the truth. A lot of people that end up being prescribed these drugs, some of them commit suicide. Some of the mass shooting events were people that were on psychotropic drugs. So the pharmaceutical industry is not our friend, not at all. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would like to say two things. My mom supposedly got COVID diagnosed based on that fake test, and she was put in isolation for like 10 days.
Yeah.
And the doctor wanted to give her a drug called Paxlovid, which is an EUA drug, emergency authorization. That means it's no long-term studies. And it happens to be made by Pfizer. And it's one of the most dangerous drugs. Luckily, she did not get it, this drug. One of the most dangerous drugs from what I've read.
What's it called again?
Paxlovid. They wanted it.
Paxlovid.
Okay, you got the name.
They advertise
it on TV. Yeah. So it's called Paxlovid?
They wanted to give her that drug, and she didn't get it. But she got better from elderberry. So she's out of isolation just elderberry, not getting that poisonous drug that's EUA authorization that supposedly treats COVID. Another thing I like to say is there's a conference in April by American Freedom Alliance, and Patrick Wood and Ed Dowd is going to be speaking there on the early stages of World War III, because they need to go to World War III to take the blame for the financial collapse.
Right.
It's do a search on American Freedom Alliance. You see the conference there. But
okay,
it's very expensive.
So American Freedom Alliance, and I happen to know about Patrick Wood. He wrote the book Technocracy Rising, and he exposes the fake global warming agenda too, and that's all a big fraud as well. So if anybody ever wants to know anything you want to know about the global warming fraud, I've researched it. I guarantee you I can tell you more than you would ever want to know. So go ahead.
Regarding the drug manufacturers pushing these psychotropic drugs, I have a neighbor across the street. She's a sweet woman. She suffers from severe depression. She'd been on... what's that one they put people on?
There's a lot of them. There's Seroquel, there's Paxil, there's...
I can't remember which.
A whole bunch of them.
I had the name a minute ago and forgot, but it's a real nasty drug. And she has been having devastating and debilitating migraines for years and years and years. She finally, after begging doctors for all these years to figure out what was causing her migraines, she came across a video or an article that told her that this drug causes migraines. So she went to her doctor and asked to be taken off of this. And guess what? No more migraines.
Yeah. Isn't that
and
amazing?
She said she's feeling better than she has felt in years, and her depression has actually lifted rather than getting worse.
Right.
God, I wish I could remember the name of it. I had it a second ago. It's really, really...
Well, they've got a whole plethora.
It's one of the real, real big ones. It's
of these psychotropic drugs.
The most common one that they prescribe for depression. But anyway, it's... Yeah, I just had to say that.
Well, I won't say who this was, but... A person I know, he started going out with a woman who was on Seroquel. And I knew her as well. They were both friends. And one day my friend contacted me and he said, "Oh my God, she's going crazy. I got to do something. Can you come over and help me get her out of the house?" So I went over to his place, which was in Orange County. And she had apparently a very bad reaction to Seroquel. And she literally took everything that could be taken off of his walls or out of a shelf. She tore it down and broke it and destroyed the entire inside of his house on all three levels of his condo. She took a poster he had of an original Goldfinger poster, which is worth about $2,500. She tore that off the wall and just broke it on the ground. Every dish that could be taken out of the cupboards, she threw it and broke it. The entire place was like a hurricane had gone through there. So when I showed up, she was sitting on the steps at the bottom of the condo in the garage, and she was banging her head against the wall over and over and over. And she had a cut on her foot. And I go, "Oh my God, she's bleeding from her foot." So I go, "Oh my God, what happened? What happened?" And she was incoherent. She was going crazy. She was hitting her head against the wall. So I went upstairs to try to get inside to get a roll of paper towels or something to staunch the blood on her foot. And I couldn't open the door because she had broken so much stuff, it was all piled up by the door. And I had to like push through rubble and broken glass to just get in his place. I got the paper towels, I came down, and I tried to, you know, stop the bleeding on her foot. But she was completely irrational, and I just realized I couldn't do anything about the situation. So I stepped away and I called 911 and I said, you've got a 5150 here and you got to come down and take her for evaluation because I can't do anything and she's bleeding and, you know. So the paramedics showed up and the police showed up and they went all through his condo. And it was all three floors. She had destroyed everything. Everything that could be destroyed. And he had a lot of really neat, decorations and valuable things. And she just wrecked it all. And it was because of Seroquel. So, one thing that people don't realize is if you see a commercial on TV about some pharmaceutical, always at the end of the commercial, they'll say, "Oh, these are possible side effects." Those aren't possible side effects. Those are effects of the drugs. They're telling you about it because they have to. And they're downplaying the seriousness of it. But there's one drug I saw a commercial for which treated psoriasis, which is a skin disorder. And one of the side effects was leukemia. So who in their right mind is going to treat a skin rash by taking something that will give you leukemia. And this is right out in the open. They say it right in the commercial. So it got me wondering, what is the purpose of them doing these commercials? Because we can't just go and directly buy these drugs. Your doctor has to prescribe them. So, you know, it seems kind of pointless for them to advertise it on TV. They should just directly talk to the doctors, right? So why are they putting these commercials up? So if you think about the reason, they're buying media compliance with their narrative by basically funding the media with these commercials. So that's why the media won't tell you anything bad about Big Pharma, because there's too much money in it for them running their commercials.
So if drugs, besides, be cautious with any drug that's EUA, because all these mRNA injections were EUA injections,
right.
So they would not go through the lengthy process like most drugs. And also you got to be careful any drug that has a black box warning.
Mm-hmm.
So EUAs and black box warnings you should stay away from, and stay away from chemo because that's mustard gas.
Right.
Stay away from most vaccine, or probably all vaccines, because they all have toxins in them.
Yeah, right now in California, they are trying to push through this HPV vaccine for kids to go to school. They want to make it mandatory. There's this monstrous human being in Sacramento, his Dr. Pan.
Yeah.
Dr. Pan is just an evil, evil man. He's trying to mandate all this stuff for kids just to go to school. And, you know, mandates, let's just translate that into what that really means. If the government tells you you have to do something, then what the government is telling you is that they own you. Therefore, you are a slave. So if you allow the government to tell you what you must do, then you just acquiesce to being a slave. That's what you did. You just willingly became a slave. Mm-hmm. That's what the lockdowns are all about. You don't have to stay in your house. You willingly self-imprisoned yourself. That's what you did. You put yourself in prison just because they said for you to do that. So we got to rethink. They use very deceptive language. They use very, very deceptive language. For instance, with 9/11, they will talk about how the World Trade Center collapsed. They'll say all the time, oh, the World Trade Center collapsed. The World Trade Center collapsed. The World Trade Center did not collapse. It was demolished. Mm-hmm. It was blown up. And the two words mean completely different things. Collapsed means it fell down because of some structural failure. Okay? That's not what happened. It was blown up with explosives, and there are people still within our government that know that. And the FBI will not really investigate 9/11. Don't get me started on the FBI. They're the biggest traitors we have right now.
Back to the advertisements on TV. I've been in sales my whole life, which is a long time. And even though they have those quote-unquote disclaimers on those ads, people believe the ads. They do not really want to hear the disclaimers. And if you've been in sales or marketing, you know that every time you make an impression, they call it an impression or a touch or whatever, however many times people see those ads, mm-hmm. it drives it deeper and deeper and deeper into their subconscious.
Yeah.
And these are people that have already completely bought into our medical system anyway. So when they say possible, what's thought possible side effects, they hear possible.
Mm-hmm.
They don't hear side effects. Mm-hmm. But also, I remember back in 2020 coming across information about the guy that invented the television, and he said that he would not allow his family to watch it right. because of the frequencies that are used on television, and there's so much that they can do subliminally. You will right. never know they're doing it to you. They will flash images. They will put particular sounds or frequencies into these pieces, yeah. and it's a hook, and it's very addictive, and it yeah. will get them every time. So
let me say okay. something about that,
all right.
Because I happen to know they patented a technology that controls the flicker rate yes. of your television.
Yes.
Okay? That's how fast the screen refreshes.
Right.
So this is patented technology. Mm-hmm. They designed that flicker rate to put you in an alpha state.
Yep.
In your mind.
Yep.
An alpha state is when you are the most suggestible.
Mm-hmm.
So hypnotists know about this. When you go into an alpha state, you are more suggestible. And what these commercials do, and what really experienced marketing people or evil marketing people, whichever you want to call them, what they do is they use a technique called neuro-linguistic programming.
Mm-hmm.
And neuro-linguistic programming is a way to implant suggestions into the minds of your audience. Okay, and it works on a very subliminal, subconscious level. Like, maybe I can demonstrate this. I don't know if anybody's willing. You can come up and I'll demonstrate how neuro-linguistic programming works.
I'll do it. I took a class in neuro-linguistic programming.
Okay.
I'll be happy to be your guinea pig.
Okay. Would you like to come up and I'll demonstrate this? Okay. So, first of all, have you ever heard about or read about a psychic ability?
Yes.
Okay. So you've read some books?
Articles, and I know people.
Okay.
I know people.
All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you a question, and I'd like you to respond with the very first thing that comes to your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So rather than think about it, I want you to really come up with the very first thought that you have. Without delay, just blurt it out, whatever it is.
Okay.
So if I say, for example, name a planet, Mars, you just say Mars right away, whatever pops in your mind, okay? If I say, name a flower, rose, you just blurt it out, okay? You think you can do that?
Yeah.
Okay. So what I would do at this point is I would write down the answer that I'm going to draw out of her through neuro-linguistic programming. Okay, I'll write it down. It may or may not work because you're familiar with this.
I also know this particular routine that you're doing.
Oh, okay.
You might want to switch it up.
Okay, well, so anyway.
Or I can just fake it.
Okay. Well, really the explanation of how this works is what's important.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked Karen a series of questions, and then I would say, okay, Karen, name a planet. Go.
Mars.
Okay, so you say Mars. And then I would get you to the point where you respond instantly. And then I would ask, as the demonstration of my psychic powers, I would say, okay, name a color.
Red.
And you would say red. Okay. So that would match my prediction, which I'd written down previously, which is red. Okay? But the explanation of how this works is what's really important here. Okay? This is how neuro-linguistic programming works. So when Karen walked up, I said, have you ever read anything about psychic ability? I said, name a planet. Mars. Mars is the red planet. Okay? And then I would do a series of these things, and then at the end, before I ask the final question, I would go, stop. Stop signs are red. Okay? So I would implant all these suggestions of the color red. And there's more that you can do. I interspersed a couple others in there. But if you do this, neurolinguistic programming, if you do it well enough, the person will respond exactly the way you predict. And Darren Brown has demonstrated this to the nth degree. This works. And these are the psychological techniques that they use in advertising, and politicians use it all the time. Obama used to use this technique quite a bit. So, for example, if he wanted to say something that he knew was going to be unpopular, like let's say you were a politician and you wanted to get it on the record that you said, well, unfortunately, we're going to have to raise taxes on the middle class. So that's going to be a very unpopular thing, right? So his audience, he knows, is not going to respond well to that statement. But he might have to say that in order to comply with certain laws, let's say. So once you say something like that, there's a neurolinguistic programming trick you can use to take people's mind instantly off what you just said. So I could say, unfortunately, we're going to have to raise some taxes on the middle class. But today, looking forward into our future, I want you all to think about this. So just by saying what I just said, but today, thinking of the future, I just got everybody in the audience to think about today and the future, not on what I just said. So this is how they can say things and then instantly take it right back out of your mind. And what did he say? What did he did he say he was going to raise taxes on the middle class? I don't remember. See, because they're using psychological tricks, hypnotic tricks. And triggers. So, go ahead.
I'm going to change the subject a little bit. So, you're talking about Tucker Carlson with the January 6th tapes, right?
Right.
Have you heard anything about them? Now they're attacking, I guess, him and all of Fox News Network, right? Rupert Murdoch, saying right. that the Dominion is suing them for billions of dollars for defamation. Do you know anything about that? Is that true? Is what's going on?
I don't know for sure if that's true, but believe me when I tell you, Fox News and CNN are opposite sides of the same coin. Tucker Carlson is not to be trusted. I can show you videotapes of him ridiculing 9/11 truthers for years. Years he ridiculed us, attacked us, talked about how we're full of crap and all of that. Now he doesn't do that anymore because he got called on it a few times, but and so did Bill Maher, for example. Bill Maher, just every September, if you happen to watch Bill Maher, which I don't recommend you do, but if you do watch his show Real Time with Bill Maher, I did a video about it. It's called Real Time Problems with Bill Maher. It's on my channel, which is Unspun News. Unspun News is spelled with a Z. I'm on YouTube. But I'm going to be switching over to Rumble because YouTube sucks. They censor and I hate them. But anyway, Bill Maher is constantly... every September, he talks about how 9/11 truthers are crazy. Yeah. So in my book, they're traitors. They're traitors. If you lie about 9/11, and I'm talking to all the FBI agents out there that know the truth about 9/11, they know those buildings were blown up with explosives. They know it, but they're not doing anything about it. You're traitors. You're traitors. So that's just my unqualified opinion. Go ahead.
I just heard different topics that spurred things in my mind. And the first one is psychiatrists. Now, in 2016, my dad had a serious intestinal surgery, emergency, whatever, hospital for a long time. So then he went to a respiratory hospital, and he was unruly. You know, I mean, if you're in a hospital, who wants to be laying on this terrible bed? He would try to get out. They tried tying his hands to the bed, and this is all before any, you know, COVID or anything.
Right.
You want to get out of the bed. And I did not know much about hospitalization. So one day they said, oh, hey, we had him seen by a psychiatrist. And I go, oh, really? You know, and he goes, he recommended Seroquel. You said Seroquel.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have three siblings. I said, hey, you know, I did a quick research on it, and it was not a good idea, especially for seniors.
That's right.
So, I mean, I had never heard of it.
Yeah.
So then I told them, I go, I don't want him to be on it. And they said, okay, well, would you like to meet with the psychiatrist? And I said, yes. Here's my father's in bed, right? So I go in there, and the psychiatrist comes in. We go, and just before I got there, the psychiatrist was in there with my dad. And he's like, oh, hey, Mr. Taguchi. Oh, hi. The last time I saw you, you were asleep. So, I mean, it's amazing that I caught that. So what it meant was that psychiatrist went in there to do an evaluation. Yeah. My dad was sick, and he specified Seroquel. So then I went in the room, and I don't know, I said some words to him and never gave him the Seroquel. I just can't believe that this is the way psychiatrists works. This is the way hospitals work. This person, this man, it just you're uncomfortable. And so you want to tie him up, and you want to give him some kind of drug, which I don't know what it was going to do to him.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that did it to him. So we never gave him that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he survived. It took him a long time, but he survived.
The psychiatrists and psychologists, they have this big manual full of all these so-called mental disorders. And that manual is growing every year. Every year they've got more and more things that they call mental illness. So they have even classified shyness as a mental illness. I'm not kidding. They call it social anxiety disorder now. And they want to put you on drugs if you're shy. So you just think about that. There's a relationship between doctors, psychiatrists, and psychologists. There's a relationship between them and Big Pharma. And it's a collusive relationship. And they get paid when they prescribe drugs.
So I got sick last year twice. I've never been in the hospital before in my life. And so I had this terrible pain in my stomach. I thought it was appendicitis. So I went to emergency room, and they had me there, and they gave me some kind of antibiotics because it was an infection, I guess, bacteria. So I felt better, and I just had myself released. But they gave me these two prescription antibiotics. And, of course, I was dumb. I'm still kind of naive about all this. So I said, well, maybe I should take it. When I took it, my stomach, right in the middle, I was not able to eat or drink anything. And I finally just stopped taking the antibiotics. And it took me like weeks and weeks to get over the stomach thing. I had to call Karen,
right.
and she told me to take this, take that, or,
right.
you know, more natural products. And it took me months to get over this stomach thing.
Right.
So the other day I was reading the two prescriptions. I go, what is the name of the two prescriptions they gave me? And one of them, believe it or not, says, do not take if you are suffering from colitis. And I was there for colitis. I just cannot believe what they're doing to us.
They malpractice lawsuit there.
Yeah, yeah.
Malpractice.
So I told this before, but I went into a cardiologist once. I had a stent put in my heart. And afterwards, he prescribed this drug called Plavix to me. And he said his explanation of Plavix was, oh, it makes your blood slippery so it won't clog up and clog your arteries. And I go, oh, okay. But I had my suspicions even back then. This was 15 years ago. I had my suspicions even back then that drugs weren't what they claimed them to be. So I looked it up on the FDA website, Plavix. And you know what it says about Plavix on the FDA's website. You can look this up yourself. It says that the effectiveness, in other words, they evaluate people that are on Plavix and people that are not on Plavix for cardiac issues. So they take all these cardiac patients, split them into groups, and they evaluate and see whether Plavix actually helps them or not. And Plavix has no more effect than taking a baby aspirin. So the group that was on Plavix had no better outcome than the group that wasn't taking Plavix. And you know what the effects are? I won't call them side effects. You know what the listed effects of Plavix are on the FDA's website? Heart attack and stroke. So there you go. And they're marking up drugs, by the way. There's a guy named, I suggest you look him up. His name is Gary Null, N-U-L-L. He went before the New York Assembly or Congress, the New York State Assembly, I believe it was. And he did an expose of drugs and explaining how much they mark up the costs of drugs. There were drugs in there that literally cost 2 to 3 cents per pill that the drug companies were charging $100 per pill to the patients. So
they have to get in their payoffs to the doctors for prescribing it.
Right, right. So it's a really nasty, collusive relationship between these doctors and the drug companies because they're getting kickbacks. So when I told my cardiologist that I wasn't going to take the Plavix, he didn't want to see me anymore. He did everything short of kick me out of his office. So,
statins are another big problem drug.
Oh, yeah.
There's many natural cures like cayenne pepper and niacin and fish oil instead of dangerous statins, which can cause diabetes.
Yeah,
and
statins
also,
are terrible.
Yeah,
terrible.
And also, if you get prescribed a drug, first see a naturopathic doctor because he could tell you natural alternatives.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, we got to find other ways to take care of ourselves. And so one of the ways I'm doing that now is I'm drinking alkalized and ionized water. A lot of people don't know this, but there's been studies done on water, and it may sound really, it may sound like fiction what I'm about to tell you, but it's not. So there was a scientific study done on water. So they took petri dishes with water, and they put them in different environments. And in one area, they subjected it, the water petri dish, to a very toxic environment full of hate. So there were people directing hate at the water. Believe it or not, this is true.
Masaru Emoto.
Yeah, Masaru Emoto. There you go. So then they examined the water in these different environments. And in one petri dish, they were projecting love and positivity to the water. And then they examined the water in the different petri dishes, and the water that was subjected to love formed into this beautiful crystalline structures that look like snowflakes. And the water that was subjected to hate, it was all chaotic and disjointed, and it literally had an effect, emotion. Literally had an effect on water. Can you believe that? Yeah. It's quackery. It's just a lie. Yeah.
What was really interesting about those studies that Dr. Emoto did is that the water that was ignored was the worst of all of them.
Uh-huh.
It was even worse than the water that was given the hate messages. The water that was ignored.
Yeah.
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 Pour anything. That's basically, it's a reflective of everything. We are mostly water.
Yeah.
So, you know, food for thought.
We want to be social.
Yeah. So this is true with plants too. You know, when they say love your plants,
yeah,
literally, do that. Your plants will thrive. I swear, it's almost science fiction, but it really is true.
I was lucky enough to see Dr. Emoto speak twice, and he was an amazing man. I've got all the books that I could find at the time. He said over and over and over that the two most powerful words in the universe were love and gratitude.
Yeah.
So if we focus on love and gratitude, yeah, our lives change. And yeah, maybe that's exactly part of what we need to be doing right now.
By the way,
right now,
I want to say I love all of you guys. I really do. I love all each and every one of you guys. I really do.
Yeah. I love you too.
Thanks
we
for coming.
We love you too, Adam.
You know, it brings up this idea of energy and energy fields around us. You know, John, you notice John is wearing this little pendant around his neck. Okay, that's from that's iTerraCare device, right? So that is sending positive ions, negative ions, which are very beneficial to your body. So that little energy device that he's wearing will actually help him maintain his health and recover from injuries and all kinds of things. So I've got this iTerraCare wand at home, and I got in a car accident about a year and a half ago, and I hurt my neck. I got a bulging disc in my neck. So when I use this wand, which directs these negative ions, when I use it on my neck, the pain goes away. And all of a sudden I can move my neck a lot easier and all this. So, you know, maybe drugs aren't the answer. Maybe the answer is energy. Maybe it's the energy that we project. Maybe it's stress and negative energy that actually makes us sick. That might be what really makes us sick.
Quick comment. I've been hating seeing pharmaceutical commercials on TV. And recently, sadly, I've been watching mainstream television. Every single commercial has more than one pharmaceutical commercial in it. And they repeat them over and over again.
Right.
So I want to start legislation or something to ban pharmaceutical commercials from TV advertising again, because I understand
it was illegal.
Yeah,
at
it
one
was.
Time. Yeah.
So I want to start something to overturn that, or legislation to ban it once again. I don't know how, but I would want to do that. And
yeah,
if anyone can help
effort.
Me get
yeah.
started, let me know. I would want to do that.
Yeah, that's a very worthy effort, because they, you know, whatever pretense they have about really trying to cure disease and help people, that's long gone. They're in it for the money, and they're ruthless and they're evil. That, again, that's just my unqualified opinion. But
back to Dr. Masaru Emoto again. I was just thinking, one of the things that he talked about in his book is that there is a lake in Japan, or, well, I guess it's still there, but it was extremely polluted, and they didn't have any way of getting the pollution out. And uh-huh. So what he did is he got people to stand all the way around the lake holding
wow.
hands, and they stood there and meditated on love and gratitude, love and gratitude, love and gratitude,
wow.
and they watched the lake clear up.
Wow, wow.
Yeah, really, really amazing. Powerful.
That reminds me of another story. And look, I don't know for a fact that this is true. I heard it. I haven't verified it. So take this with a grain of salt if you want. But my understanding is that there were some Buddhist monks that did an experiment. They moved into Baltimore, Maryland, in different locations around Baltimore. And at that time, Baltimore was the highest crime rate in the country. So there's a lot of violent crime, a lot of very negative things going on in Baltimore. So these monks moved into different spots around the city, And they just did what they do. They did their meditations. They did their religious practices. And they just literally just existed there to see if those monks coming into that city would have any effect on the city. And the crime rate dropped. Violence went down while they were there. So is there something to that? I think there is. I think actually stress and negative emotions and that sort of thing are what really make us sick. That's what I believe.
Tesla once said, the secret of the universe is energy, vibration, and energy, vibration, and one more else. So frequency.
Frequency, yeah. Yeah. So an interesting thing, this is totally off topic, but an interesting thing about Tesla that I heard was he designed this device which he was going to send a signal to the North Pole that they could see. There was an expedition going on to the North Pole at the time. And he said he was going to do a signal to the North Pole that they would be able to see at a certain time on a certain day. And the people on the expedition never reported seeing anything, but that same day, around that same time, there was an event in Russia, in Siberia, which is very close to the North Pole. They had what's called the Tunguska event. And this was, they think, a comet came down and actually hit, made landfall in Russia, in Siberia. And it flattened like a 20 square mile area of forest in Siberia. Totally flattened it. But they have never yet been able to find any fragments of a comet or a meteor. So they don't know what happened. But I personally think it was Tesla's device. And he somehow transmitted frequency and resonance to Siberia, and it had that effect. Probably not intended, but I heard also that Tesla designed a small device which had resonating frequencies. So if you take a basketball and you start bouncing a basketball, if you add a little downforce each time, the ball will rise higher and higher and higher and higher. Well, that's the way resonance works, is if you keep adding to the resonance, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So he made this small device and he attached it to one of the structural columns in this building, and he almost shook the whole building down. So what did Tesla know? Well, he knew about frequencies and he knew about resonance. So maybe there's something to that. But hey, anybody would like to, please come on up and talk about an event you got coming up or anything you want to talk about. We got an open mic here. So I'm sure you guys don't want to hear me pontificating all the time. So come on up. Otherwise, I'll just call it a day and say thank you to everybody. But anybody that wants to, come on up. Thanks.
Well, I'd like to add a bunch about the wand since we've been promoting it pretty heavily. From my background in the military, in medicine, and orthopedics, and trauma care, the things that are happening when you use this electrical device, which is not a medical device, are seemingly miraculous. What's the explanation? Why are they happening? People have been going to doctors for years and years for chronic illnesses that are now getting better when they blow the hot air from this device on their body. What explains that? It's not a medical device. It's not, nothing medical is happening. Something is interfering at the cellular level to help the body function the way it's supposed to function, because the body is totally designed to repair itself. You shouldn't need any intervention. The problem is that we're our food is contaminated, our water is contaminated, our air is contaminated, and we're eating the junk, which I just ate. Tastes really good, but for all I know, that could be made out of fleas. I mean, they modify everything. You don't even know what you're eating. So anyway, we've got all of these metabolic disorders. Well, metabolic disorders are problems with our chemistry. And if once you get the chemistry right, then the body functions. Well, what this wand supposedly does is when you blow it on yourself, the terahertz frequencies are able to identify, I mean, not with a label or anything, but cells that aren't working right. And it helps break up those cells. And those cells are eliminated by the lymph system. And so once the body opens up the lymph system as well, because it increases your microcirculation down to the cellular level, the body is able to eliminate a lot of the stuff that's bad and clogging up your system so that the body can function properly. Who wants to go to the doctor today? Can you trust them? You can't. You know, they're just the ones that are locked in that plane of, hey, the government says you got to do it, so you got to do it. And there's too many of them that are going along with the protocol because, well, I got bills to pay. I can't stand up. The ones that stood up, there was one doctor that spoke here once before who lost half of his practice because he refused to go along with the mask mandate. Well, what happened? He was worried. He didn't know how he was going to pay his bills. All of a sudden, people like us found out about it, and we all began going to him because the other doctors were not doing this. And Adam had a direct consequence three weeks ago, walking in and to talk to the doctor, and they wanted him to wear a mask. This little device will take care of a lot of minor aches and pains that get into be bigger aches and pains. But the fact that it's helping people that have been under chronic conditions like psoriasis, eczema, gout, all these kinds of things, diabetes, cancer, a lot of people that have had those problems have been cleared up simply by using this wand, which is extremely affordable at $380, $395 out the door, and it's good for the whole family, including your pets. Who wants to pay a big vet bill? It's expensive to take your animal to the vet lately. Anyway, we can't say enough about it, and we're going to provide some more information about it. And if you like it and it's working for you and you want to tell other people about it, they will pay you compensation to do that. So I don't know about you, but when the banks start failing, all the local businesses fail too. That means local jobs. People are not going to be able to get paid. They're going to have to find a way to make a living. People can't pay medical insurance. They'll lose it because they lost their jobs. They still need to take care of themselves. I think this device is the perfect solution. You know what? Times have changed. God provided a solution. Yeah. We need to take advantage of it.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it. So one final thing I wanted to say that John reminded me about. So we can do a little frequency experiment right now, all of us. So about a year and a half ago, when the self-imprisonment and the masking was going on really, really strong, I went out to Santa Monica and I did a free hugs event. So I held up a sign on Santa Monica Pier, said, "Free hugs, no fear." And you would be surprised how many people came up to me and gave me a hug. And there was this one woman, she came up and she gave me a hug and she was like shaking. She was shaking. And I said, "Thank you for the hug." And she goes, and she was in tears. And she says, "I haven't had a hug for over a year. Oh my God, I needed this so much," is what she said. So let's do a little experiment right now. I'm gonna give out some free hugs. John, you want a hug?
That's great, buddy. I love you, brother.
Jane, I love you a lot. Love you a lot. So anybody that wants a free hug, come on up.
Fed go on for 7 minutes.
I love you. Love you too. Love you too. So much. Yeah. Thanks, brother. Love you. Derek? Love you. So, anyway, guys, thanks for coming. This was, in my opinion, one of our best. Oh, yeah. You have an announcement? Sure. Come on up.
Just wanted to, I'll probably be here next Sunday, and I'm supporting both sides because I'm adamant to somehow bring these two groups back together. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I foresee it in my heart, mind, and soul. And so that's okay. But I'm going to work on it within my prayers and so forth, because if we don't unite, we're divided. And there's a negative energy when you're divided. And if there's a lot of negative energy, we can never achieve the ultimate goals that we want to achieve in life. It's just no possible way. And so I would like to, and I'm working on it, to have an open event where both groups can be together. Everybody can stand up here and speak their mind, spirit, thoughts, words, what action they'd like to take to be able to, you know, remedy whatever problem. Because, you know, I've only been here about 3-4 weeks. And so I don't know what went on prior to. But when I sense a negativity between groups of people, it really bothers my heart and soul. So that's where I'm coming from. I have no alternative motive. If you don't show up to this event, don't worry about it.
Okay.
Because I'll still be there. And I will still be here, and you will be here, and they'll be over there, and you'll still be united until one day something breaks. Maybe it's the right person at the right time. Maybe it's something, event.
Maybe we can help you right now.
You know?
So anybody from Healthy and Free, including Anthony, is more than welcome to come to our group.
Okay.
Okay, they can come up and speak at the microphone just like anybody else. We'd love to have them here. Unfortunately, Anthony doesn't have the same attitude about us. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Thank you for voicing that. And that's where I'm going to do my best to work with whomever I have to work with to, you know, you voice your opinion, but he's not here. He can voice his opinion, but you're not there. And so the only way anything has ever been resolved is not separated. You have to bring people together with an open mind, an open heart, and to allow someone to get up here and say, I don't like you because of whatever it is I don't like you for, what you said about me, or whatever it is. I don't know what it is because I'm just new. So that has to happen.
Well, let me help you with that.
In order for anything to heal.
Let me help
you
with that.
And move beyond.
The invitation has already been done and open.
Okay.
We are not the ones that are stopping it. You're talking to the wrong people.
Well, I'm talking to both.
Well, go ahead, because
we have
an open invitation here. They refuse it. Okay?
So then we would have to maybe meet on open ground.
Well, you're going to have to work with them to meet the open ground.
You say I have to work with them. They're going to say I have to work with
them. No, they're not going to say that.
And so there's no, it's just going to be a clash. So if we could sit down and somehow.
No, we've already done that.
You've tried.
You're late to the party. If you want to work on it, you got to work on it over there.
Okay. And I will, like I said, I will continue.
Please.
But on that note, I have a bunch of homeless. I feed 2,000 people a week.
Wow.
Yeah. So I have to go grab a trailer and go to some more stores, go pick up stuff. But this is my intention, is to somehow unite the groups.
Hallelujah.
Whether it happens or not, I'm going to put forth my best energy and, you know, experience in life and so forth to make it happen or allow it to happen.
Well,
whether it's a day, a week, a month.
And just said, we've done all we can do and we're done.
So I'm going to hand this out. If you'd like to show up to support what's going on on the 24th, Chatsworth Courthouse. You will learn something you've never learned before. And if you'd like to be there, you can let us, you know, you can use the email. RSVP, we'll have a table, a tent. You can bring your banners, bring your mic, bring whatever you want to bring. There'll be some food there and so forth. And so we'll hand these out.
Let me put one of these up right in the camera so people can see it.
Yeah, and then anybody that wants one can have it individually. And
is that the same from last week?
Yeah, but it's got an email on it now.
So Adam, if I may, I want to say I appreciate what you're saying and what you want to do. And I am open mind. I am an open heart. When I was with Healthy and Free, that's all I wanted to do, was do it for all the people. I didn't care if there was one person who didn't like me. I still attended the meetings over and over again. I did everything. I opened my heart. I spent my money. I did it for all these people. I didn't care if there was one person who wanted to kick me out. And I am the impetus. I am that point that broke it up. I am, and so I feel terrible because I never wanted that to happen. Never. But I was never given what's called, what is that in law?
Opportunity.
No, what's that law I said when I said you
recourse.
No, like at January 11th. If you're not given due process. I was never, ever given due process. It's Jane, you're out, Bink, you're out of the social media, you're out of this. I was never given due process. So
are you united that it's only one person?
Well, I don't know. I just
that I have to work on. Is it more than one group of people? But I will continue. I will continue. Thank you.
The
for
reason
sharing.
I would love to be united with the group over there. That would be great. As far as I'm concerned, we wouldn't have to duplicate effort. But Anthony decided, for whatever reason, to kick people out of his group. He kicked out Jane. He kicked out Nastasha. He kicked out John. He kicked out quite a few other people and made things very uncomfortable for a lot of different people. So we created this meeting so that they would have a place to go since Anthony wasn't welcoming them anymore.
So it's one.
And in my opinion,
it
is one individual that's causing this problem.
Okay, yeah. then that would be the individual. You wanted to say something? Oh. Oh, okay. So
I wanted to say something about that.
That one individual every single week trashes anyone over here to the people. In you can hear him. He trashes us.
I did not hear him today.
Well, good. I'm glad he didn't do it this week. But he very regularly says negative, derogatory things about anybody that disagrees with him, actually. And I personally had an experience where I went to one of his dinners after his meeting one night, and there was, you know, how he talks about everybody needs to be respectful. There was a man at the table that I was sitting at, and they were talking about communists. They were very hateful about them. And what I said is, well, you know what? If somebody were to talk to me and tell me that they regretted what they did and they apologized, I would give them love.
Right.
And I was viciously attacked by this person. And Anthony sat there holding his head in his hands and said nothing. He didn't stop this individual. And it went on and on and on until I finally managed to finish my meal and pay for it and leave. And that was the end of it. And he kicked out, like others here have said, he kicked out person after person after person for, in some cases, nobody knew what they had done. In many cases, actually, they were taken off all the chats. They were told they weren't welcome there. Jane went back multiple times and was told by multiple people there that she was not welcome and she had to leave. She was physically accosted. So Anthony has a very toxic attitude, and that toxicity has spread to others who have chosen to participate in it. I'm not saying everybody over there has, but there are others that have chosen to participate in that toxicity. And so it starts with him. He's the glue that started it, but in my opinion, and it's just my opinion again, he's not the only one there that it has this opinion. If he wants to come back here, we're happy. We've invited him, as several others here have said. But
well, thank
that's all
you
I have to say.
Because I'm now becoming more in tuned.
He's never delivered on his promises. In other words, he was supposed to deliver a video and audio to all of the people that came and spoke. 2 years, nothing.
Never a single one.
This video will be out in a couple of days. The audio will be available tonight.
Oh, beautiful.
We want the information to go out to the
public.
You're
going to dub me out of there, right?
No. And we're going to make you front and center.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, and it may come down to the point where I see certain things and feel certain things, and who knows what decisions I make at that time, but I won't give up.
Let's stop
on
with the feeling. We're going a different
do
direction.
What I have in my heart. And
we
soul
don't. We're going now a different direction.
Yeah, I got
we're
it.
We're not really interested in what he's doing. We don't really care. We're doing our own thing, and we're performing. So, when I was here at the beginning, when he started over there, and we're going through the same process of building a group, just like it takes time to build a group. So we're not really in the same vein anymore. So there's really no unity there.
All right. Thank you very much.
Well, I just wanted to say I appreciate what you're trying to do. I really do. Because it is very positive. And I am willing to talk with Anthony and bury the hatchet, but he has to be willing to do that too.
Of course.
And
takes two to tango.
So I wrote some lengthy letters, and I posted them on Healthy and Free on his website. And we also did a video specifically addressing him, and he deleted them off of his website. So,
well, he's, again,
he just seems unwilling.
I don't know any of that stuff until today. So,
yeah.
You know, the more information I have, the better inferences I can make on decisions in my life.
You're welcome here. Yeah. We meet every Sunday.
I appreciate it. And I hope you enjoyed the cake, even though it was acidic. All right.
Yeah, who are you? What's your background? This is my first time coming back to a meeting, and I haven't been here to a meeting in a long time.
Oh, who am I?
Yeah.
I'm Adam. Another Adam. And I have an event. We have an event that we're putting on here. I'll give you a flyer.
Okay.
And it's an invitation. And it's going to be teaching people how to take back to your control of your freedom. And in a way that you've never seen, heard of. And it's through the court system, because it's not going to be any other way other than taking control of who you are as a man or a woman. You can be a citizen, a person, you could do all those technical words, the word magics that they use. But when you see a court process happen in a certain manner, and you learn certain words, and you learn how to invoke your power through your court, they will have no other choice but to adopt to what it is that you are empowering yourself to do. And that's what this event is about. So I'll give you a flyer.
Anyway, thanks a lot.